Shalom, listeners, and welcome to our fourth podcast in the series, Worship Insights Through the Bible. In the first three podcasts, we looked at the names of God found in the book of Genesis. We are now going to turn our focus to the worship insights found in Genesis.
Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn and run the course of day till evening falls in crimson rays. His fingerprints in flakes of snow, his breath upon the spinning globe. He charts the eagle's flight, commands the newborn baby's cry. Stand and sing, hallelujah, fill the earth with songs of worship, tell the wonders of creation's King.
The Pentateuch, which are the first five books of the Bible, lay the foundation of worship, and in Genesis we are given a very clear insight into what God expects from us in worship. One of the most important things we always need to remember is the reason why we worship God. I deliberately began the series with the names of God so that we can gain some insight into the character and nature of God, and as God reveals himself to us, we then respond in worship. We worship God for who he is. So let's begin with worshiping the Creator God, Elohim. And when we read Genesis 1, verses 1 to chapter 2, verse 25, we read about God's creation. Creation is an act of God's goodness, and which continues to proclaim the Lord's power. At this point, I want to encourage you to read and meditate on Job 38 to 39. And then, after you've done that, respond in an act of worship. In the first podcast, we briefly looked at why God created man and the relationship that he desires to have with us. And in response to that, our worship is then giving one's heart and life to God. If we look at the tabernacle and we look at the gate is the entrance, so to speak. So we need to go through the entrance, which is that surrendering our lives to Christ, accepting him. We see in Genesis 4, verses 2 to 7, the difference between Cain and Abel's attitude. In Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19, we read of Abraham's heart as we read about his act of worship. So in other words, it is a lifestyle based on our relationship with God. Once we have given ourselves to God, we then begin with the next step, which is total obedience. Our worship begins with obedience. And again, if we compare it to the tabernacle, this is where we now come to the altar of sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to pay heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry." In Genesis 6, verse 22, we are exposed to this obedience. Noah did this. He did all that Elohim commanded him to do. And it's the same for Abraham. In Genesis 12, verse 4, "So Abraham went, just as the Lord had told him." In the act of total obedience, we may find that there is a significant cost involved. True worship may lead us to give up possessions, status, and comfort in order to live in a covenant relationship with God. And again, in comparison to the tabernacle, we now come to the altar of sacrifice. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now Yahweh said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So you see, it doesn't matter what age we are. God can require things of us that take us totally out of our comfort zone. But remember, our worship begins with obedience. In Genesis 13, verse 18, Abraham moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to Yahweh. When God reveals himself to us, how do we respond in worship? Let's have a look at four characters and look at the different ways of response. In Genesis 8, verse 20, we've got now God making a covenant with Noah. Noah builds an altar to the Lord and offers burnt offerings. In Genesis 17, verse 3, God makes a covenant with Abraham, and here we see Abraham falling on his face. In Genesis 26, verse 25, "So he, Isaac, built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there." This is again where God confirms with Isaac his promise that he made to Abraham. And then we have that famous scene where Jacob finally meets up with Esau. In Genesis 33:20, there Jacob erected an altar and called it El Elo Israel, the God of Israel. Right throughout Genesis, and in fact the entire Bible, we continually see God's response to our sinfulness. We never cease to show love, mercy, and forgiveness. However, that does not mean that we do not have to deal with the consequences of our actions. So we see that one of the things that is a pattern throughout the Word of God, God responds to our sinfulness with mercy and forgiveness. And as a result, worship is an appropriate response to that mercy. We see God's act of mercy here in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. As Abraham is pleading, God is prepared. If he can find so many righteous, he will spare the city. God is always willing to show mercy. Another act of worship which we see in Genesis is that of giving. In Genesis 14, verse 18, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.'" Now, I just want to refer briefly to some of the elements of worship that we first encounter in the book of Genesis. In Genesis 8, verse 20, and again in chapter 31, verse 54, we come across the sacrifice. in Genesis 8, verse 20, 12, 7 and 8, 13, verse 4, chapter 18, 22, verse 9, 26, verse 25, 33, verse 20, and 35, verses 1, 3, and 7. We see reference to the altar. In Genesis 28, verse 22, chapter 31, chapter 13, and of course 35, verse 14, we see reference to the stone pillar. In Genesis 35, verse 14, we see reference to the drink offering. In Genesis 17, 21, verse 4, 34, verse 15, 17, 22, and 24, we see reference to circumcision. In Genesis 35, verse 2, we see reference to the rite of purification. In Genesis 28, verse 20, and chapter 31, verse 13, we see reference to the taking of vows. I trust that this has given you some insight into what worship is really all about. And at this point, I would like to recommend that you listen to the podcast series, Abraham's Act of Worship. This will give you far more insight into true worship. I would also like to remind you that the notes to all the podcasts are available on the website www.baobab.org. Next week, we will look at praise insights found in Genesis. And in case you're wondering where I get a lot of my information from, I would just like to mention at this point that most of the scripture I'm using, I use the English Standard Version Study Bible. I'm also using a Bible called the Names of God Bible, as well as the Praise and Worship Study Bible. And of course, our trusty Strong's Concordance. So I trust that you might be able to get your hands on some of those books and dig deeper. And until next time, God bless.